Our text for this morning is the second reading, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. I share with you again these words, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself his Savior. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And verse 32, this mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, some of you have heard this before, I know, but I remember when I was in high school learning about perpetual motion machines. That's the kind of thing where you've got a fan that runs a windmill, and the windmill runs a generator, and the generator produces electricity that runs the fan, and so it just keeps going, just by itself. Continual motion. Well, God, I think, designed for marriage relationships to be like this. Verse 21, which we heard last week at the end of the reading, says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so Paul now describes how husbands submit their desires to their wives and wives submit their will to their husbands in a relationship that keeps on going around and around with complete unity. The problem is there's no such thing as a perpetual motion machine. The reason is friction, which turns kinetic energy into heat, which dissipates so that the whole thing wears down and runs down. Now, the U.S. Patent Office has had applications submitted for perpetual motion machines, but they found hidden inside every single one some secret source of energy, some battery or spring that's actually what keeps it going. I think the same is true for marriage. Despite God's perfect design, the reason it doesn't work the way God designed it to is friction. So that the energy turns to heat until the whole thing wears out and runs down, unless there is a hidden source of power inside it. And that source of power that keeps us going is Christ. In the verses following this reading, Paul applies this to other relationships as well. But here in this text, he describes how wives receive in connection with Christ, how husbands give in connection with Christ, and how all are changed in connection with Christ. Let's think first about how wives receive in connection with Christ. Paul writes, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. You know, the first part of this last week, there were many people, including me, who were using umbrellas to protect ourselves from the rain. Now, some people hate using umbrellas because you just always have to hold them up. But they only work if you're holding them over you. I think that is a picture of the submission that our text is talking about. Submission means simply putting yourself under something. Now, submission is voluntary. Wives submit themselves. It's not the same as subjection, which is being put under something. And this submission involves holding something up, that is, supporting husbands in this case, which also involves holding them responsible for what is under them. Now, this word is not the same as obey, but it's obvious that this involves submitting to the will of the husband, that is, supporting his decisions. But what may not be so obvious is that what goes along with this is submitting to care as well. The connection between both submitting to both care and will maybe is a little more obvious in the following verses where Paul moves on to talking about parents and children. And children who need to submit to their parents in order to submit to their care. It's hard to care for one who's rejecting you. The same word for submit is used in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, where Paul writes, submit to the righteousness of God. There, submitting obviously means being willing to receive. These verses keep referring to how we receive everything from Christ, who is head over all, our Savior. And I think this helps us to understand what Paul means by head, and how wives look to their husbands as a subordinate of Christ and His will and His care over them. The problem is, because of our sinful human nature, no one likes the role of being a dependent receiver from anyone, including Christ. We would all rather independently take care of ourselves, which includes deciding for ourselves. But look again at the phrase in verse 22. Your own husbands. Paul emphasizes this connection, this unity. He's your own. Husband and wife are not loosely connected to each other or independent, like one car that's simply following another down the road, or even like one being pulled by a chain, which can result in jerking and bumping and crashing. Instead, they are to be like a semi-truck trailer, firmly joined together, each useless without the other, but working well when each is in its right position, one following the other rather than trying to go backwards, which, believe me, if you've tried it, doesn't work very well. One woman said, okay, the husband's the head, but the neck turns the head. Well, okay, fair enough. Because next Paul says, husbands, give in connection with Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blame. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Again, Paul emphasizes the unity between husbands and wives, which involves total commitment to each other. And that's what marriage means, and why it's so important, because this commitment is what the physical union is claiming to say. This is important because husbands need to do, and what husbands need to do, only works when there's complete and lasting unity. And the same goes for wives. If the head is part of the body, then what's its role? Is it just to take care of itself at the expense of the body? Well, no. His role is to look out for the body. And so Paul writes, husbands, love your wives. How much? As much as Christ loved the church, willing to give up his whole life for its sake. This kind of love means wanting what is good for the other as much or more as we want what's good for ourselves. Now, can you tell somebody how they're supposed to feel? Well, obviously, no, that doesn't do any good. But Paul says husbands must love their wives. Nowhere in the Bible, interestingly, does it say wives must love their husbands. I think it's a good idea anyway, but he says, husbands, you have to love your wives. He is not telling them how they have to feel. He's talking about their behavior. Just do it, whether you feel like it or not. You're a head. This is a head thing, not a heart thing. It's a decision you make. Husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. Now, it's natural for us to love ourselves, that is, to want what's good for ourselves, even if we don't totally like ourselves. We might think, oh, my nose is too big, my hips are too big, my bald spot's too big. But you know, I still want what's good for me. That is how Christ loves us. In spite of all of our flaws, He wants what's good for us. And Paul implies that husbands, by their love, can actually make their wives more lovely. Think about it. You know how the models in the magazines are made so lovely? Airbrushing, Photoshop. Their blemishes are simply covered up. This is how Christ presents us to Himself. Without any spot or blemish or wrinkle. Not because of anything that's true of us or what we do, but because our imperfections are covered up by Christ's righteousness. It's not even that we stay the way we were when He found us. When He found us, we were pretty ugly in sin then too. This, Paul says, is how husbands make their wives precious and attractive to them, is by what they lovingly do for them. It's like what makes us love our precious children, not because of anything they did for us, but because of all we do for them and have put into them. But again, there's a problem. And it's because of our sinful nature. No one likes to be a giver without a guarantee of receiving. We want to take care of ourselves. We want to keep what is ours. And so husbands tend to care more for their own physical desires than for the hearts of their wives. And we try to lead with power instead of love. No wonder it is so hard for wives to submit to their husbands and for husbands to love their wives. First, because they're a poor, miserable sinner. And second, because their spouse is a poor, miserable sinner. That's why we all need that inner source of power. We all need to be changed by our connection with Christ. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. He concludes, this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. He's saying that marriage between one man and one woman is designed by God, where one is designed by God to be a giver, and the other is designed by God to be a receiver, perfectly united with complete commitment, with the result of passing life on to others. That is not just a picture of Christ and His relationship with the church, that's a result of Christ's relationship with the church. We are able to fulfill our roles in marriage and in the other relationships of life only when we are all willing to submissively receive what He chooses to give us. And when we are willing to freely give to others what He has first and constantly lovingly given to us. We are able to do what God calls us to do only because He Himself has first done it for us. And in fact, He has. Jesus, the Lord and head over all things, show what it means when He said, the greatest is the one who is the servant of the most. Jesus willingly submitted Himself to the will of God, to do all of God's will, perfectly keeping the law in our place, and lovingly sacrificed His whole life for us in order to provide for us what we need, to protect us from the punishment we deserve, to rescue us from sin and death. And now, He generously gives us His own perfect holiness. Paul says He pours it out on us in holy baptism, which brings us into the church, uniting us in one body with Him, where He, as our head, acts in and through us. And He does this not just by washing us with water on the outside, but with His word, which in connection with that water washes us clean on the inside and makes us pure and full of splendor before God like a beautiful bride. And as we continue to live our lives in this world, we continue to fail and to fall down and to mess up so that we cover ourselves with bruises and scratches and filth. which ruin the beauty that we're to be showing to God and to each other. But each day we return to the bath of our baptism as we again receive God's word of forgiveness, which not only calls us good, but which itself is what makes us good, taking away our sins, so that we can go out once more and share this goodness of God with our spouse by willing submission to receiving what God wants them to give us, and lovingly giving what God has given us to share with them. I read a study once which asked husbands what they wanted most from their wives. The number one answer they got was respect. Wanting to be treated as valuable and important and worthy of being respected. They asked wives, what's the number one thing you want from your husband? The number one answer they got was love. Being treated as valuable and important enough to be loved. Well, that's what Paul, a couple of thousand years, already said. That's what it boils down to. But it's hard. When my wife and I were recently on vacation in Australia, we ended up renting a car for a couple of trips. We had to get used to driving that car on the left side of the road. Sometimes that felt scary. It took a lot of concentration. We helped each other with reminders. It's also like this in the kingdom of God and in the state of marriage. Avoiding a crash involves doing what may feel backwards. And so Paul reminds husbands and wives and all of us, keep your head. That is, don't just do what you feel like, but submit to God's will and His design for each of us, with Christ as head over all of us. Wives, receive in connection with Christ, accepting the will and the care that come ultimately from Christ. Husbands, give in connection with Christ, giving the unconditional love that comes ultimately from Christ. And all are changed by connection with Christ, who preserves our connections with each other by submitting Himself for our sake, and lovingly giving us all we need through His eternal commitment to us. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.